Brother Greg's so excited he's going to go with him. Well, folks, you've got to witness, and we've got to be a part of, and we've got to see what it looks like for D. Now, that's what we saw. We saw those things spread out over just a few days, and we kind of compacted it down to where we could all get it in one morning, and I hope you enjoyed it. But before we go any farther, there's a lot of people that come together, and I'm going to announce them one by one, that they come together, and they tried really hard, and they put their effort into it. And you've heard the saying, you know, it takes a village, right? You've heard them say that it takes an army, maybe to raise a child or to put something together. But this is no different. What does it take to put on things like this? It takes a group of young saved people, and it takes another group of experienced saved people to be able to put this together, put it together. So, Brother Thomas Carson, Miss Darla Carson that you just saw, Miss Angeli, Miss Nicole, Miss Heather, Miss Rusty, Mr. Rusty in the sound booth, my mother and father, Janet and Keith. I know they don't want me to point them out, but I love them and I got to. Brother Tommy Bruce, and he is special to us because he's our church mascot, and I thought he wasn't here this morning because he didn't glow. But today he's put on what we call normal clothes. Brother Rick for being our bouncer and bodyguard. Nobody did anything out of line. He had it under control. We got Matthew and Emily and Alex and Dakota and even Brother Tommy Graham, who decided to cut up his own cattle gate so that we would have a gate to put this together. And we thank you for all those people, Brother Joe, and many, many more, and you know who I'm talking to. But we want to thank you with a round of applause for your efforts. Thank you, Jesus. Been a lot of things go down this weekend, and one of those is lack of sleep. And it's okay. I mean, you know, God provides, right? You can still do things tired sometimes. So we're still getting over it. So if we're a little behind or a little off, that may be why. But if you stood up here and you watched it, it's not real hard to get the picture of what was trying to be put together with the drama, right? It's the open gate. It's the open gate of salvation. It's the one question that the world is still struggling with. You know, has it changed? It's been that way for almost 2,000 years. And it continues to be the hottest topic in a lot of people's lives today. You know, we want to talk about just a few things this morning, but one, you know, in 2020, one of the biggest questions that a person had was, you know, can it get any worse? You're almost reluctant to ask it again, aren't you? You know, 2020 is, can it get any worse? But here we are in 2021 and saying, yes, it could change. So what we want to do is we want to say, well, maybe 2022 is better. I sure hope so. I sure hope so. But how am I going to deal with 2021? This is how we're going to do it. I've got to know where I'm going to spend eternity. Amen. Not only do I have to know where I'm going to spend eternity, I'm going to ask Alana to come up for just a minute, and here's why. We're going to answer that question in one just big moment. Alana and my wife and even my mother spent some time rolling out old wrapping paper for presents. And they taped it together till we got to the paper side, and they drew all this out and they painted it. And there's a lot of hands that went into this. Some good effort, and there's a lot of money in paint in there, believe it or not. Paint's expensive. And this is all words, and these are in Greek. And they mean something. It's important. If you'll notice, they're inside the gate. Alana, would you tell us what they mean?
In the Jesus fish, obviously, is Jesus in Greek. And above that is the word welcome. In the pink letters here is peace. And in the green and black box, that is love. The one that is tilted here is come. I'll move out of the way, sorry. And then the Roman numerals are 2021. And in the white is safety. And I've had a million youth ask me that. So there is your answer.
So we know what is inside the gate now. Thank you, Alana. We know what's inside and what it represents. When you look at Pete, if you'll notice from the very beginning, people were mistaking this for Pete's things, that this was Pete's home. Well, Pete is also in the 10th grade and 15 years old, and good gracious, he's a big one. All right? He's a big one. He's becoming to be quite a member of our youth group, and we're excited to have him. We're thankful to have him. And Jen, who happens to actually be Pete's girlfriend, but not in the video, in the drama here, was the soft-hearted thinker. You know, she looked at what was presented, and she thought about it until she got to the decision where she was going to go through the gate, and she didn't hesitate. And then you've got Trevor and you've got Kyle. They represent a lot of the young men in the church. Rambunctious, you know, always up to no good, just a little bit. Got a little bit of a smart mouth. And they come in, and it looked for the world that Trevor was going to be the one with the black jacket, that he was going to be the one that was just not going to go through the gate, right? But Kyle's the intelligent one. He wasn't afraid of Pete. He would talk to Pete. But he told Pete pretty plainly, he said, I'm not going in. Not today. Maybe one day, but not today. And we got to see Trevor write down the troubles of his life on his paper. Some of us have that piece of paper. Some of it is just right up here. And he struggled with them. But when it got time to make a decision, he sat down his troubles right outside the gate and went on in and allowed God to perform those things in his life. And then we heard thunder. And then we heard the gate close. And when we did, Kyle stood literally outside the gate, knowing that he had missed it. Now that's a very real thing. Now the world sometimes don't feel like that. But the answers are right here. The answers of how to deal with it are right here. And this is the message these youth have heard all weekend long. I tell you, some of the most spiritually mature people I know are in our youth group. They're prayers. They care. They lift their things up to the Lord. They have big faith. And I'm thankful for them. So if you would today, turn in your Bibles over to 2 Peter. There's a few verses of scripture we're going to read right there before moving on through the rest of it. In 2 Peter, in the very first chapter, we're going to look at starting with the 8th verse. Second Peter chapter 1. It says, for if these things be in you and abound, that they make you, and you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop there for just a second. We'll read it again. For if these things be in you and abound, that they make you, and they shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the Word will never let you down. They'll always be gained in the Word of God. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I told you that the world was still fighting and arguing with the gate of Jesus Christ. And we read this scripture right here, and what we see is that Peter's basically encouraging us, go through the gate. We look every single day and we see the struggles of our young people. And we look at what they deal with. They go to school. They go to work. They go to college. And everything that they hear are the things that are in direct contradiction with the Word of God. And we think, what hope do they have? And then one of them, maybe two, maybe three, gets on fire for Jesus. And they begin to go into their schools and they go into their workplaces and they begin to minister. And then when you see them come through the doors, they're bringing three with them. And you think, man, maybe I had it all wrong. They've went through the gate. They're bringing people with them. It's not over for them. If there's going to be hope for the future of the church, I'm talking about the church, Christ Church. It's in this generation, right? It's in these young people. We're believers in here. We know the Lord. We're thankful for that, at least largely. But if it's going to be carried on, folks, it's going to be on you. It's going to be on you. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody can live out the will of God in their life in place of yours. You've got to do it. Now we know that we are His, and that we are bound for an eternity with my Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to see how it works out. Now, there's five words that I'm going to look at today. Just five words, and they won't take an extremely long time, but we will spend some time there. So turn over to 1 John. It's not going to be very far from where you were. 1 John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we're going to look at that 13th verse. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may have it on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." That's pretty basic stuff, isn't it? When it comes to the gospel, we've all heard that before. Says, "And the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to Him, that He heareth us." As people stand outside this gate on a daily basis, and they struggle and they struggle and they struggle over and over and over, and they won't make a commitment to God to say, "Lord, You are my Lord, and I am Yours." Sometimes we stand in front of it and we say, "I just don't know what to do. I don't feel it. I don't understand it." Why don't we ask from help from the Lord? People say, "Well, I'm going to ask God to help me get saved." Absolutely. Absolutely. Words to remember, what we just read. So how can we really know if we're going to go to heaven? How do we know that we've stepped through the gate? How do we know that we're His? Today we'll talk about it. First word, know. Very first word, know. You got to know these things right here. What does know mean? That means to fully understand it and be confident in it, right? Like, I know for a fact that if you put 30 teenagers in my house, maybe 40, that the power bill goes up. You will sweep the floors once a day. The grocery bill goes way up. And they're going to leave stuff at my house every single time. Some of this stuff up here, well, we had some stuff. It's gone. Hopefully the rightful owner found it. I found pillows. I found pillowcases. I found sweatshirts. I found phone chargers. Just this morning, if they come, that's one of the things you know is going to happen. Here's another one. If you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and you've accepted Him as your Savior, there's a change. That you feel it. That you know it. It's not like it used to be. It is very, very different, and it does not look like out there. It looks different. You can know those things. Now, how do you know it? How is it that you know? It's because His Holy Spirit lives in you. You know, we're not earning His Spirit. It's not because we're good. It's because He's good. It's not because we put on a great day now. It's because He blessed it. It's His Holy Spirit that speaks. People say, come to me, and they say, "May this, you know, Brother Allen, I feel like I'm doubting my salvation." Bear with me for a moment. We've got to get through this portion of it. And they say, "I doubt my salvation." Well, how often do you doubt it? A lot. Maybe that's God speaking to them, reminding them of this. You're not saved. Maybe the doubting of the salvation is to expose that you need the Lord. Remember when I told you, if you're saved, you're different. You're different. You can't do it without conviction. That's what I pour into these young people. Some of them are struggling so hard, they want to serve God. They want to serve God, and we've seen this, haven't we? You want to serve God so bad, but you can't do it not saved, can you? You can try. You can say, "I want to do all the things these other guys are, all these other kids are doing. I want to sing. I want to teach. I want to do all that." But none of it will bear any fruit until you're saved. And you will burn out. And you will get frustrated. And you will find yourself tired and wanting to quit. It's not that I don't find myself tired. I just don't want to quit. Sometimes y'all have to drag me. You know, I've drank a bunch of coffee today just so I could do this. We went out into the garage. All the boys slept in the garage at 50 degrees at night on Friday night on air mattresses and fold-out chairs and cots. And there's some snorers in there. There's all kinds of rackets coming out of that room. And you go out there and you find you're going to get 2 hours of sleep, if you got two. And you come back in here all day Saturday and you do your best to follow the Spirit of God, and then you go home last night, we lose. Now, you get tired. You get tired, but it's okay. I'm going to do this whether I'm tired or not. You know, no big deal to me. I'm going to serve Him whether I'm tired or even if I'm broken. So, we're looking, we see these young people, you're trying to encourage them. What's it take to follow God? What's it take to be saved? It's a dedication. It's a dedication to Him. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ, and once you get it, you got it. You can't lose it. We often look and we think, well, how do I know there's things? One's the Holy Spirit. Number two is you can't live a contradicting lifestyle. You know, it's the lifestyle of Christ, if I am His, is going to mimic His lifestyle, right? Jesus walked around penniless. Penniless. He didn't have any money, but He didn't need any. Everywhere He went, everything He needed, He had. Why should we expect any different? You know, if you go into the workplace, or you go into the school, or you go into the college, and you find that, hey, I feel the Spirit of God pushing on me to tell them about what I've got, God's going to give you what you need. God's going to give you what you need. You don't have to go home and prepare for it necessarily. Just be willing to speak on His behalf. But your lifestyle cannot contradict the Word of God, and then at the same breath claim that I'm a saved, born again, born of His blood Christian, because they don't line up. They don't line up. That doesn't work that way. God will bring conviction. If there's a genuine profession of faith, we've got the Holy Spirit, we know that. You can't live a contradicting lifestyle, and somebody's got to be willing to say, I'm saved. It's funny. We find more and more people that say, I'm saved, but I don't believe the Bible. What? That confuses me. I'm troubled by that statement. Don't confuse salvation with knowledge. And I used this parallel last night, and I hope you can hold on to this for just a little bit. I asked them, I said, who is Donald Trump? And about half of them had a Trump shirt on, so they could tell me about it. And, you know, one of them said, well, he was the 45th president. And another one said, well, he likes to tweet a lot. He did. Notice I said did. That he was good for the economy. He liked to talk a lot. Somebody said he had Cheeto hair. Somebody said he had, you know, things like that, right? They made comments. They made comments about it. And I said, you sure do know a lot about Donald Trump. And they said, we do. I said, well, introduce me to him. I said, well, we can't. We don't know him. And I said, yeah. I said, well, tell me about Jesus Christ. And a lot of people knew about Jesus. And I said, well, can you introduce me to him? I said, you can't introduce me to somebody that you might not know. So when I talk about knowing, that's what I mean. How can you introduce somebody to your Savior if He's not your Savior? It doesn't work that way. We can't confuse knowledge and salvation because they're not the same. They're not the same. You can know everything in this book that Jesus wrote and be lost. Everything. Salvation is not of man. Remember this. It's of God. All that piled up knowledge, all that stuff that you know, don't make a hill of beans if you're lost. You may have plenty of knowledge about Christ, but He needs to have knowledge of you. It's kind of like this. You hear a lot of people say, well, I've got Jesus. Well, I do too. And thank you for saying that. But if Jesus don't have me, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. You know, there's a verse of Scripture. I believe it's John 10:28. These are the words. John 10:28 says these words right here. It says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them from my hand. Let me tell you why that's important. Look at this, people, today. I reached up for the Lord, but I promise He reached down farther than I reached up. And He's picked me up, and I'm His. So in order for me to lose Him, that means He has to let me go. Well, His Word says He's not going to do that. That I'm His forever. This word safety right over here, if I could pronounce that word, I promise I would. But this word safety inside the gate is important because you say, well, how am I going to get to the place to where I'm so confident in my salvation that I know God has got me? You got to fall right under that safety net right over there. And it's through Him and by Him that we receive that safety. So how do we know that we're in Him? Look over at 1 John chapter 2. I believe it's verse 5. says, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. Let me tell you, listen, we've heard the scriptures read over and over and over. Do we believe them? Let it resonate in there for just a little bit. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, and ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. See, when I fall in this net right here, it's forever. When I'm in his gate, it's forever. It's not temporary. It's not just because life is spinning out of control. It's not temporary, in other words. It's the real deal. Now, number two, it is written. The recorded word of God is where we pull information from, right? That's where we get it. That's where we begin to understand who Christ is. And then through his spirit, we get it. Often people want to debate the word of God, and then they try to use the word of God to disprove the word of God. And again, it confuses me. I don't understand it. When they say, well, there's plenty of old books out there. I say, but there's no old books like this one. No old books like this book was compiled directly by the Lord through men that were received the inspiration of the word and wrote it down. And ever since the printing press put it all together where it's been abundantly passed out through all the nations, it's been a hot topic. Name another book that's like that. Let me fill you in. There's not one. There's not one. There's no book that has this kind of power. It's the object. It's where we ground our thoughts so we see it in the Word of God. It's where you see it in your... What was our topic for night number one? There is no other name other than the name of who? Which man must be saved, right? No other man than it's him. Now, your feelings of Christ will shift over time a little bit. I'll tell you, they really will. You know, when I was young, I feel just a little bit differently about the Lord than I do right now. Let me tell you why. I'm closer. I'm closer. I'm more mature. I'm also fatter. I can't run as fast. You know, all those physically I'm changing, and I am also spiritually. I'm getting closer to God. If you'll dedicate your time to him, you'll get closer too. I promise. You'll find yourself talking to him out loud when no one else is around. And when somebody overhears it, they'll think you're crazy. And you know what you tell them? I am. I am crazy. I'm crazy for the Lord. Your feelings will shift. You won't always feel saved. Not always. You have anybody ever here felt, well, I'm not saved. Ain't no way. Ain't no way I could have done that and still be saved. Let me tell you, those are real feelings too. Those are real feelings too. You won't always act saved. That's a real thing too. But I'm always saved whether I feel it or act it. 1 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verse 16. Remember the words. Because it is written. There's some words again. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. His blood's poured out on me, and they wrote it in this book right here, and we've received it, right? See, Peter was able to write things like that. The authors of the book were able to write things like that because they were able to witness it. They got to see it. You and I get to witness his spirit and read about it. You know, Peter was able to do all those things not because of the way that he felt. If you really want to be honest about Peter individually, he was a smart mouth and hard-headed. He reminds me some of myself. He reminds me some of you, too. Y'all quit looking at each other. Y'all need a mirror. So, sometimes we get those things right. We have to deal with who we really are, but I'm redeemed by the blood of Christ because it's written that it's that way. I've got faith in the inspired word of God. Our opinion isn't always exactly lined up with the way it really is. So we need to check our opinion and say, all right, what does the Bible say? How should I feel? Number three, believe. That's a big word. And what's crazy is I've typed, I bet, somewhere around 1 million words it feels like in a computer, and I'll spell believe wrong every single time. My computer has learned that when I type believe to fix it. all them I's and E's, and it's nuts. And I get them all confused. But believe. Believe is more than just the simple term that we often comprehend it. We talked about this weekend about, do you believe that chair is going to hold you up? You said yes. We believe. Let me tell you how I know you believe it. Because you're not holding your feet in position. You're not easing into it. You just plop down in it. Anybody ever broke a chair? Anybody ever broke a chair in front of people and it embarrassed them? Yes, I've done that. I've done that too. But we got faith that that chair is going to hold us up. And we're so confident in it that every time that we sat down, we just plop down in it. What we need to be looking for is having the same faith that Jesus Christ will hold up your life, just like we showed here today. Because we got people putting their faith in everything, but very few people are putting their faith in Christ. I'll give you just the ugly details. They'll put their faith in their finances. Well, as long as I've got enough money, I can just at least trickle along even if things go really, really bad. Well, that's not necessarily true. If the dollar crashes tomorrow, all that money's worthless. Nothing. Suppose another virus come out and it was 40 times worse than this one and it killed a third of the nation. What's the money going to do for you then? Nothing. Nothing. I don't care how many cars you got. A Toyota pickup truck doesn't fall victim to a virus, but you might. You know, everybody thinks a Toyota pickup truck's the best thing in the world right now. They're a hot item, and I've got one. But in the end, it's going to come and go like everything else. Some people rely on their intellect. Say, well, I'm just smart enough to figure it out. Put it in comparison with God's word. You'll find out how smart you're not. See, belief comes from trusting God, not just saying, I believe in God. If you look in the book of Acts, verse 16, this is another one of my favorite books of the Bible. The more and more I read it, I got more and more favorites. Acts 16, verse 30, it says, let's go with 30. Talking about the man. Read the latter part. It says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And thy house. And thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. See, we look at believe that we can just say, well, I believe that the Lord's my Savior. Well, it's got to come from in here. If it doesn't come from in here, we're missing it. There's the undeniable link from conversion to faith. There's an undeniable link to belief and salvation. I've got to believe and understand that Jesus Christ really did take the cross on my behalf. And the only way that I'm going to walk through life is with him. Because from my belief in him, I get my salvation. John 10:10. Go over there briefly. John 10:10 says these words here. It says, the thief cometh not to steal and kill and to destroy, but I come that they may have life and they might have it more abundantly. Some of you have told me your life's plans, and I'm so excited for you. And I'm going to sit and listen to what you tell me tomorrow, which is a completely different set of plans. And then the next day, it'll be a different set of plans. What business you're going to start, what school you're going to go to, all these things. All the plans change, I get it. It changes. My plans change a lot. But Jesus says that he came here that we could have life and have it abundantly. Believing that Christ has a plan for your life is where we ground that. I don't want to do anything in this world that's going to take me out of God's will. Anything. Whether that be a boy, whether that be a girl, whether that be a job or anything like that. You know, if you find yourself chasing long enough, God will eventually say, you can have it. Tommy Bruce gave us a great testimony one night at Celebrate Recovery. He said he was trying to quit smoking because that wasn't the plan for God in his life. Tommy Bruce is a talented guy. He had cigarettes in his hand. He said, I am done. I'm going to throw these things out my car window. So you can picture Tommy driving down the road with that perfect flat top. And he slings those cigarettes out the window. And before the wind even picked them up, his left hand reached out and got them. Picked them right back up. He said it took him a little longer to quit smoking. I want to tell you now that there are certain things in your life and everyone's life in this room that are not in God's plan. And what we got to do is believe that his plan is superior to mine. Listen to Pete. What he said, look, he said, everything in here is way better than what you got out there. That's all that junk laid out there. He said, when they realized that this was hindering from what's in here, they just sat it down. They just threw it down and come on in. This is to show you why you should believe. It's to show you how to believe. In the Greek, the word believe means trust in or place your whole faith in or depend on, just like that chair you're sitting in. That chair will fail you eventually, but the Lord never does. You know, I believe that Jesus loves you and I, and he wants all of us, not just part of us. You ever seen somebody try to balance the secular in their church life? And it sink like a rock because you can't do it? That's what I'm talking about. There's no belief in that. And number four, trust in the Son of God in the name of Jesus. See, there is no replacement for Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved. Who likes a little controversy? Who likes to stir the pot a little bit? Don't lie. I know you do. You want to stir the pot? You guys were doing that at the bowling alley. Stirring the pot a little bit. I've heard you talk about it. Somebody come across and say, well, I love Jesus. And they say, oh, well, me too. He's the only way. And they say, whoa, well, what about those other gods? Let me tell you, that's a real thing. People really say that. And you say, well, what are you talking about? I said, there's other false gods. And they say, well, I believe in Jesus, but let me tell you, No, Jesus made a very, very singular statement. John 14:6. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. All of those things were singular and what we call truth claims. One of the funny things that happens is when I'm at work and people question that statement, I've got it written in Spanish up on the wall. I don't really know Spanish, but it makes me look like I do. And I tell them, I say, well, those are all, I'll read it to them, and I can memorize one verse in Spanish and go through it, and I tell them, and I say, well, you got to pick one. Is he or is he not? And they say, well, he is, but there's other ways. And I say, well, how about this then? You got to make a choice because only three things can be true right there. One, Jesus just told a lie, and I'm not willing to say that. Or Jesus was not sane, and I'm not willing to say that. Or Jesus was absolutely accurate. But you got to pick one based on what Christ said. Sometimes they say nothing. I say, well, I don't know what to say to that. It goes all the way back to the beginning. Many people are standing outside the gate. Do we believe it or do we not? In the Son of Man, Jesus Christ is the name by which we must be saved. It would be kind of like this. If you come here this morning and we put a sign out there at the street that said, Phil Robertson speaking on the 14th of March, you couldn't park. There'd be people everywhere. And Brother Joe stood up here and everybody come in and they're going, well, I don't look like Phil. And we stood up here for the whole time, and Joe preached a message, and they listened. Somebody's going to come up to Brother Joe at the end and say, well, Brother Joe, I thought Phil Robertson was going to be here today. And he'd say, well, that's just another name I go by. I got a second name. It's Phil Robertson. That'd be disappointing, wouldn't it? It'd be disappointing. You come to see Phil, but you get Brother Joe. I think Brother Joe's a better preacher than Phil. Don't get me wrong. But what's funny about that is that's kind of where the world's at today. They're looking for something that they want Jesus to be instead of looking for who Jesus is. Accepting who he really is and taking who we really are and putting them at the feet of Jesus. And we'll find out that we can rest assured that we've got our place in eternity. It's a legitimate thing. And the last one, eternal life. The very last thing we can remember is that everybody is going to live forever. Everybody. It makes people feel great, don't it? But you tell them, but the quality of life is very different from end to end. I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord. I'm going to shut my eyes on this side or he's going to come get me. But I'm going to wake up in the presence of Christ. And I'm going to be there forever. I want that for you too. Because I don't want to spend eternity without you. I love you. I care about you. I want to see you. I want Tommy Bruce to go to heaven. I just want his mansion to be a little farther than mine. He glows. Just a little farther. It's the quality of life that matters. Now, if you look at 2 Corinthians 3:15, this is what it tells us to do. It said, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know, not of your own self, how Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. You know, we can check ourselves. That makes sense? You ever heard somebody say, check yourself? I think it's a modern term. I'm not really good with it, but I think I understand it. Check yourself. Am I saved? Am I going to spend eternity in heaven? Here's how you do it. Are you hungry for Christ? Do you want him? Do you want him? Are you living a contradictory lifestyle? Are you going places with him? Are you content with your life? Or are you looking to get closer to Christ? Are you spending time with God? Do you spend time in his word? Do you spend time in his word on your own? Do you open up your Bible when you're at your home? Do you forgive like Jesus did? Do you forgive frequently? You know there's fruit if you do, and we can see it. There's fruit. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet today. I want to tell you, if you could be here this week and you could witness how our youth responded the presentation of the gospel, if you could look and see how well people have done and how strong our youth is growing in Christ, it would impress you. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for you. Thank you for supporting them. But what's mostly important, and I mean this for every person in the room, is that we've all been through that gate right there and that we're saved and we have the confidence that when we die, we're going to open up our eyes and spend time with the Lord. Because if we are going to be the disciples of Christ that we're supposed to be, you cannot do it without salvation. So they're going to play a song. And if God spoke to you and he's calling your name, the altar is always open. If you know that you lost and you know that you've never accepted Christ or you can't remember that time in your life where you said, Lord, I'm yours. I believe what the Bible says about you. Today's that day. If God's pressing upon your heart today, please come. So
They have to turn it on because I don't know how. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I wanna let's give the youth a big hand. Amen. The youth band did a great job. The drama was fantastic. I really enjoyed that. The painting, folks, that's a lot of work. Okay.